1. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to our Easter service, and I hope you have had a good Holy Week. And now we are here joining together to celebrate that glorious victory of Christ risen again. Indeed, Jesus is our hope. For us, the cross was not the end, but Easter morning, when Jesus triumphantly came and showed his disciples the scars of his hands and his feet. And indeed, he is risen. And so let us join together and celebrate this Easter morning. But before we begin our service, let us pray. O Lord, risen, alive, and full of grace, you paid such a price that we may live in freedom today. We worship your holy name and give thanks for your redeeming grace. Heavenly Father, may we drink in your tender love so that we can pour this love out to others. Come, reign in our hearts, reign in our minds, and reign in our spirits. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to blow through our every word, our every action, and our every thought. Come, transform us on the inside so that each day we can become more like our risen Lord. And so guide us through this service, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. And our opening hymn is none other than Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah! The Lord be with you, and also with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Let us therefore rejoice by putting away all malice and evil and confessing our sins with sincere and true heart. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now for the glory. And the Collect for Easter. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of thy Son hast overcome the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to thee, in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be praise and honor, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen. And now let us have our Old Testament reading.
This is from Isaiah chapter 25. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 till 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Our hymn, which will prepare us for the gospel reading, is Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son.
Thank you.
Alleluia, Alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark, chapter 16, and verses 1 to 8. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And so let us pray. Risen Saviour, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable before you, our Saviour and our risen Lord. Amen. Happy Easter. I am glad that today we can celebrate our Easter service in church, as there will be a service at 9:30 in Carlton Road All Saints Church, and there will be a service at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Great Malton. So at least we are celebrating Easter in a different way, that we can gather together in the church. Our theme this morning is that Christ is risen, and we're going to be looking at the experience of Calvary as a place of victory and celebration. Calvary is a place of victory and celebration. And also we're going to look at Calvary as a place of bringing all people together, that Jesus' death on the cross unites all people together. And all the above, that Calvary is a place of victory and celebration and a place of bringing people together, all of this is summed up in the power of the resurrection. So Calvary was not the end, but the resurrection brought victory. And so the events of Calvary was a pinnacle or a summit of God's work of salvation. The good thing about the Bible is that things unfold, and it is like a narrative which develops through the Bible. It is primarily a story about God. The whole Bible is more to do with the story about God than the story about the people. But this story is about how God relates to what he has created, which includes the people. And so the story develops, and after every step, we reached various peaks from where we can see over the other side of the horizon. And so when we look at Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9, the passage from the book of Isaiah tells us of two initial things. It tells us of a mountain, and it tells us of a place where God will prepare a feast. This mountain is a place where God will prepare a feast. In the Bible, the mountain has always been referred to as a place where people meet with God. Mount Sinai, we see that Moses met with God and received the law. At Mount Horeb, Elijah was met with God. At Mount Hermon, where it is believed was the site where Jesus was transfigured. It is apparently said that Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in the area. We have the longest sermon of Jesus, which is called the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, which is said to have been preached in the slopes of a mountain. But finally, there is Mount Calvary, a place where Jesus was crucified. Therefore, this passage from Isaiah mentions the mountain with implications of meeting with God, because a mountain was a place where people would encounter God. And there is a sense of ascension, symbolizing ascending to God. Isaiah could have been pointing prophetically to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, where he was to reinstate the law through his teaching from the Sermon on the Mount and leading to his crucifixion at Mount Calvary. So Isaiah mentions this as a place of feasting. When we flash back at the story of the Exodus, we can include the provision of manna in the wilderness, of which the whole year was spent around Mount Sinai, which was a significant stop which included the giving of the law. But further in the New Testament, we see Jesus in the feeding of the multitude. As we see in verse 6, the mountain which is being mentioned here is saying, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines." So this is the first expression of the mountain, of which he talks about the feasting. And as I said, it echoes many other things, such as the Old Testament, of which there were redeemed people celebrating at the foot of Mount Sinai. But also it is that New Testament image of Christ and feeding those multitudes in the slopes of the mountain. And so this has got lots of implications when Isaiah is saying this. But at the same time, it can reflect on that celebration and joy, because at Calvary, death was defeated. But then if we move to verse 7, it's another image of the mountain. He says that he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. And here we can say clearly that there is an allusion to what was to take place at Mount Calvary or at Golgotha. Because Isaiah is saying, on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations, that there is a sense of bondage, of sin, and of death, of which Jesus came to release. And Calvary here meaning that the extreme suffering, that's the meaning behind Calvary, extreme suffering, and Golgotha meaning the place of the skull. Both these names of that place expresses the extent of brutality, a place Jesus the Savior went to die. And so those two images of the mountain, a place of joy, but also a place of suffering, but also a place of victory. Isaiah therefore alludes to the victory which will be won at that mountain. It is there that even death itself was destroyed. These two things which will happen at that mountain, the feast and the conquest, are what represents the ministry of Jesus and what he lived to achieve. The feast is also linked to the book of Revelation, where those who believe in Jesus are invited at the wedding banquet of the Lamb, at that heavenly banquet where there will be no pain, no tears, and God will be our comfort. As we see in verse 8 and 9. He says, "The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.'" So the prophecy of Isaiah here is pointing towards both the suffering and the victory, which was achieved at Calvary. So at Calvary we reach the apex or the summit of God's plan of salvation, which was achieved by Jesus' death and resurrection. And now as we move to the epistle reading, following the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension, the Holy Spirit began to work amongst the believers. So now the resurrection is behind, and the believers are coming to faith. And of course, the milestone was on that day of Pentecost. And so we don't just look at the events of Easter and that's it, it's gone. But there is a continuation which spills over to the book in the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts can be seen more as the Acts of the Holy Spirit rather than the Acts of the Apostles, because the Apostles acted on behalf and as instructed by the Holy Spirit. And so the passage from Acts 10 is a sermon by Simon Peter, or a testimony, a witnessing of Simon Peter, one of the 12 disciples. This same Peter is the one who also preached the first sermon following the coming of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. And the context of this event of which Peter spoke and witnessed about Jesus, the context is to do with a man by the name of Cornelius, a centurion from the Roman regiment, known for his generosity towards the poor and also devotion to God. And he gets a vision from God asking him to look for a man called Simon. And so he sends for Peter. Peter also, very much in the other side of the world, gets a vision from God through an angel, telling him that there is no social or cultural boundaries between Jews and non-Jews. And immediately following the vision of Peter, three men approach him, sent by Cornelius, the Roman centurion. They tell him about the vision which Cornelius had, and that the angel had told Cornelius to look for Simon Peter and hear the message from God, which Simon Peter had. Then Peter responds to that message and goes to Cornelius's house. Peter arrives there and presents the words of witness which we read from our epistle. First of all, both Peter and Cornelius had learned that God accepts everyone. There is no one who cannot be accepted by God, because Peter says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." So that is what the cross of Jesus achieved, that at the cross, God now accepts everyone, as Peter testifies here. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right." Because just as much as Peter himself was a close disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, received a vision from God, so did Cornelius, who was God-fearing, but not one of the disciples, and he was not from the Jewish community. So Peter says he realizes this. This was made possible through what Jesus had come to do. Without Jesus, this was not possible. And this is what Peter also calls the good news. If we read verse 36 to 38, he says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know that what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." So here Peter is realizing and testifying to Cornelius and the others who were there, and we know that at the end the whole household was baptized. But he's showing that Jesus had come to bring something new, that all were accepted, and this is the good news. And according to Peter, it is not just to hear as a story, but he himself was an eyewitness of all events, as he testifies in verses 39 to 42. Peter says that "I was an eyewitness." He says, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So this is a very powerful testimony here, which Peter is giving, that he himself was with Christ following his resurrection. And he says he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of both the living and the dead. And so this is also to see that it wasn't just Peter testifying this and Peter experiencing and witnessing this, but he says that this was in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, such as what we read from Isaiah. It was the fulfillment, because he says in verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So what Peter is saying here is that this is not just a made-up story, but you are hearing with your ears something from an eyewitness who was there, who saw it, who experienced it. And this is what happened at that Mount of Calvary. God brought all people together to be reconciled in Christ. And finally, this victory is what we celebrate today on the day of Easter, the power of the resurrection, as we read in Mark 16, 1 to 8, our gospel reading. At the resurrection is where this new life of reconciliation begins, in verse 4. Mark 16, 4 says, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. These women waking up in the morning, going to see if they can put perfume on the body of Jesus, but they found the stone had been rolled away. Because this is what the angel they found at the tomb had told them. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified? He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter, the Peter who was now testifying as we saw in our epistle reading, go and tell them and him, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And so I wish you all a happy Easter. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us share our faith with the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Of all that is seen and unseen, we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who was spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As a royal priesthood, let us pray to the Father through Christ, who ever lives to intercede for us. Reveal your kingdom among the nations, May peace abound and justice flourish. We especially pray for all the nations of the world which are in turmoil and where peace is sought for. In the time of silence, let us mention all the nations which at the moment are in active warfare. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Send down upon us the gift of your Spirit, and renew your church with power from on high. Especially we pray for our diocese, our benefice, our team, and for all our leaders. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. Deliver the oppressed, strengthen the weak, heal and restore your creation. Especially we pray for those who are sick among us. We pray for Betsy, for Brian, for Joyce, for Ellen, for Yvonne. Your name be hallowed, your kingdom come. Continue to govern and direct your holy church and fill it with love and truth. And grant it that unity which is your will. Hear us, good Lord. Give us boldness to preach the gospel in all the world and to make disciples of all nations. Hear us, good Lord. Enlighten Graham and Alan, our bishops, and all your ministers with knowledge and understanding, that by their teaching and their lives they may proclaim your word. Hear us, good Lord. Give your people grace to hear and receive your word, and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Hear us, good Lord. Bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived. Hear us, good Lord. Strengthen those who stand, comfort and help the faint-hearted, and raise up the fallen, and finally beat down Satan under our feet. Hear us, good Lord. Guide the leaders of the nations into the ways of peace and justice. Hear us, good Lord. Guard and strengthen your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, that she may put her trust in you and seek your honour and glory. Hear us, good Lord. Endue the High Court of Parliament and all ministers of the Crown with wisdom and understanding. Hear us, good Lord. Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice, honesty, and truth. Hear us, good Lord. Give us the will to use the fruits of the earth to your glory and for the good of all creation. Hear us, good Lord. Bless and keep all your people. Hear us, good Lord. Help and comfort the lonely, the bereaved, and the oppressed. Hear us, good Lord. Keep in safety those who travel and all who are in danger. Hear us, good Lord. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the peace of Christ, both those who have confessed the faith and those whose faith is known to you alone. And grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. And in the time of silence, we bring to you those we know, the coming funeral of Molly House, and also of Neville Wesley Reynolds. And today for our diocesan prayer calendar, having prayed for our bishops, we also pray that we may truly celebrate the risen Christ wherever we find ourselves. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We also pray today for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that, Lord, you may send your Holy Spirit and bring peace to the land and to the city. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for the team, today we thank God for the resurrection and that we are able to celebrate Easter together, with a sunrise service at Stratton St. Michael, led by Heather, Holy Communion at Stratton St. Michael, by Elizabeth, Carlton Road by John Wacton, Michael and Angie, and Stratton St. Mary, Heather, and Great Moulton, Jill. We pray for live streaming to reach those who cannot attend, and we pray also for Tyler at Stratton St. Mary's and Eddie at Tibbenham, being baptized this afternoon. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now for the peace. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. As we prepare for communion, now we can sing Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Almighty and Eternal Father, and in these days of Easter to celebrate with joyful hearts the memory of your wonderful works. For by the mystery of his passion, Jesus Christ, your risen Son, has conquered the powers of death and hell and restored in men and women the image of your glory. He has placed them once more in paradise and opened to them the gate of life eternal. And so in the joy of this Passover, earth and heaven resound with gladness, while angels and archangels and the powers of all creation sing forever the hymn of your glory. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Let us say the prayer of humility. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ keep you to eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ keep you to eternal life. Amen. Let us say the post-communion prayer. God of life, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his risen life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain in you always. Amen. And now our final hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood. Thank you very much for joining in on this service, and let us continue to celebrate the risen Christ, remembering that at Calvary that was a place of victory and celebration. It was also a place of bringing all people together, and it was also the place where we could see the power over death through the resurrection. This afternoon, we are going to have a short baptism service at All Saints Church, Tibbenham, at 3 o'clock. If you'd like to come and support Eddie Griffiths, who is being baptized, please, you are welcome to join us. And so, as our Lord Jesus Christ said, "As the Father sent me, even so I send you. Go in peace, to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen."